Since the early days of the church, many believers have celebrated Advent and Christmas as two separate seasons. The first season is for preparing and expecting. At Advent, we look forward to not one, but two arrivals. First, we anticipate and long for the birth of Jesus, just as the Jewish people longed for the promised coming of the Messiah, the King who would rescue them and return glory to Israel. Christmas, the end of the Advent season, is a celebration of that promise kept. The Messiah came, the Son of God sent first as a sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sin. But we wait still for him to come again, to return and make all things right, to take his place on the throne forever. At Advent, we prepare ourselves for that second arrival as well, with repentant hearts and joyful confidence that our God always keeps his promises. Come, our long-expected Savior.
Christmas would just pass her by. Nothing could reach her or answer her questions. Why she feels so alone, she wonders if all hope is gone. Hope is a candle.
trust the sweetest friend, but wholly trust in Jesus' name.
Come on, every voice.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest friend, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ
has been crazy this year. It has shown us our best and our worst. And it has challenged us to look for hope anywhere we can find it. And we have looked everywhere. To politicians, to vaccines, to masks, to movements, to ourselves. But you, Lord, are both the author of and the fulfillment of our hope. You are the one who can undo the crazy and can put our feet on a steady walk with you. The rest of Christmas will come, the joy, the love, and the peace, but we need you now to renew our hope for each of those things. My friends, as we light the first candle of Advent, let's pray together. Jesus, be with us this day. Help us reimagine your hope for us and for the world. We give you our fear, bitterness, worry, and yes, our exhaustion. We hope for you this Advent season, and we call on you to enact a holy do-over as we seek your presence. Amen.
Here in the love of Christ, I stand. I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree. Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. Shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you.
Linus is right. I won't let all this commercialism ruin my Christmas.
I don't know about you, but I used to like watching the show on television, The Little Drummer Boy, and his name was Aaron. And he was a wandering orphan who harbored an intense hatred for people simply because of the hurt that had been inflicted upon him when he was a little boy. He's seen his mother and father brutally murdered and been captured and enslaved by desert entertainers. And finally, one of his beloved pets had been stolen from him. But this wounded little boy had an incredible transformation that took place. And it began with a turning point in his journey. You see, in this tragic tale, there's a lesson for each of us as we enter into this Christmas season, a season of Christmas being regifted, and how our hearts can be caught up in worship when we follow the star to its destination. This Christmas season, we can expect to encounter new worship experiences when, like the little drummer boy, our face is set towards Bethlehem. You see, the Christmas story is one filled with portraits of worship, and by examining them, we gain a glimpse of what our worship experience should be like as we too journey to Bethlehem. And there are three obvious aspects of worship associated with Jesus coming to earth. And they define for us a pattern to follow for worship during the Christmas season. Our guides for this journey will be different examples of worshipers in the Christmas story: Mary, shepherds, the wise men. And through them, we will see that our journey to Bethlehem will lead us to understanding how we can re-gift Christmas through the personal acts of worship. Worship is defined as honor, reverence, homage, in thought, feeling, or act, paid to, specifically and supremely, to God. It's reverent devotion to God, the rituals or ceremonies by which this reverence is expressed. We find in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 47, that Mary is a worshiper. And Mary says, My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. And then the shepherds worship. And so they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it was amazed. But Mary, she treasures up all these things in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And then the wise men, they worshiped. Matthew 2:10-11, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, incense, and of myrrh. And so here too in these stories, we find that upward element. We find that the acts of reverence and honor directed toward God as we look at Christmas regifted was done so through Mary's singing. It was done through the journey of the shepherds. It was done so as the wise men bowed a knee. And then the outward element of worship was through Mary sharing with Elizabeth. It was with the shepherds returning with rejoicing. And it was the wise men declaring to Herod. So therefore, worship is both declarative and demonstrative. We should expect that our journey to Bethlehem, as we look at having Christmas regifted this year, that it would lead us to personal acts of worship. Some which are directed upward to God, some that are directed upward to only God, and others that will be outward acts of reverence and honor. Well, you see, this Christmas regifted, it is also based upon personal encounters. Let's consider for a moment how momentous the birth of Jesus was. It is interesting to note how few worshipers are identified in the nativity story. Besides Mary, the shepherds, and the wise men, only two others are named, Simeon and Anna. Now I want to switch our focus for a moment to the movie Dennis the Menace. Mr. Wilson has waited for years to witness his rare plant bloom. Anybody remember that movie? Maybe you'll want to go watch it again. Then due to the distractions that had happened, he missed the event. While most of the Jewish nation has been looking for a Messiah for thousands of years, yet on the night he was born, most of them missed it. Today, with the busyness of our lives, with looking at the Christmas and all the trimmings that Christmas has, we can easily miss truly worshiping God this Christmas. Why? Because we will be too busy, we'll be too distracted, and miss the encounter that God wants to have with us. You see, Mary, as she looked at Christmas, listened to the angel. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And then the shepherds believed the heavenly hosts in Luke 2:8-12. You know, the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you." And then the wise men followed a star. They asked King Herod, during the time of King Herod, they came from the east to Jerusalem, and they asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." True encounters with God occur when we are seeking to listen to his word, believe what it says, and follow in obedience. So how can we in our lives allow Christmas to be regifted as a worshiper this Christmas? For us to experience the awe and the wonder of the season. Maybe we can place ourselves in the positions to encounter God, to make listening, believing, and following a priority. And then lastly, to appropriate to our lifestyles. Christmas regifted within ourselves, how we act, how we live. We said earlier about worship being demonstrated to others, but it is also to be appropriated to our individual lives. A pastor gave me permission to share this story. He says, I love my brother. He's a good friend. He's a loyal associate, and he's an excellent co-worker in Christ. But he can't sing. You should be glad that I have pastor, who I also love and appreciate, lead worship. So it would be wrong of me to expect this other person to lead something that is not appropriate to his gifts and life. This Christmas, we should expect that we will have personal expressions of worship based upon Christmas being regifted within our own lives, based upon our encounters with God that are appropriate for each of us. You see, Mary sings a song and she shares it with a relative in Luke 1:39 to 46. She shared her experience with Elizabeth. She says in a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. And Mary says, my soul glorifies the Lord. And then the shepherds search for a manger, and they raise a chorus of praise. And off they went, hurried on, and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. And when they seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all that heard it were amazed. But Mary treasured all these things in her heart. And then the shepherds returned. And what did the shepherds do? They glorified and praised God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And lastly, the wise men followed a star that shared their wealth and declared his birth to a king. Matthew 2:1-2 and Matthew 2:10-11. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So how will we respond in worship to the encounter that we will have with God today? How will we respond in allowing Christmas to be regifted in our hearts and lives? What will we have God do that is specifically intended for you and I? Will we re-gift Christmas through an act of service? Will we re-gift Christmas through a generous gift? Will we share with a friend, a relative, a co-worker of our encounters of worship that we've had with a holy God? Will it be formal, informal, public, or private? When the little drummer boy stands in the presence of the baby Jesus, when he has encountered the miracle of Christmas, the song reminds us that he responds. He plays a song on his drum. And while the little drummer boy is just a story, it illustrates the truth that personal upward and outward acts of worship. It illustrates the truth based upon real encounters with God. And it appropriates to our lives and gifts. So are you ready for the journey to Bethlehem? Are you ready to ask God how you can re-gift Christmas within your life and in the lives of others? Let's pray together. Jesus, it is easy to miss the true heart of Christmas worship. Fill my life with expressions of worship that come from daily encounters with you. Lead me to ways to express that worship that declare and demonstrate my devotion to you. Give me a heart for Christmas worship and allow me to let my life be Christmas regifted to others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Joyful we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, hail thee as the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and
and sadness, drive the clouds of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All thy works with joy surround thee, earth and heaven reflect thy rays. Stars and angels sing around thee, center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, blossoming meadow, flashing sea, chanting bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in thee. Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed, wellspring of the joy of living, ocean depth of happy rest. Thou the Father, Christ our brother, all who live in love are thine. Teach us how to love each other, lift us to the joy divine. Mortals join the mighty chorus which the morning stars began. Father love is reigning o'er us, brother love binds man to man. Ever singing march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful music lifts us onward in the triumph song.